welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, in The Sour Romance. Later on from the show, On Stage from 1953, but first it's Romance. The show, that is, with an episode called Paris Encounter, a CBS episode from August 21st, 1954.
Now, from Hollywood, Romance. Have you ever been in Paris in the summertime when it really sizzles? You know, somebody wrote a song that had a line in it about loving Paris in the summer. Me? I hate Paris in the summer.
With William Conrad as Philip and Jean Bates as Colette, we bring you transcribed Ross Murray's new story of romance and adventure, Paris Encounter.
Business forces me to be in Paris every summer. It has ever since the end of the war. My business? Well, I sell airplanes. Big jobs, commercial airliner stuff. The only redeeming feature of this last trip was that 2 days before I was scheduled to leave, all of my business had been completed. So I contacted Etienne Robert, our European representative, and we plunked ourselves into a couple of uncomfortable chairs at a sidewalk cafe, ordered a couple of tall, cool drinks, and tried to forget about the heat.
Philippe.
Yeah?
You don't like your job very much, do you?
Oh, not very much, no.
Then why do you do it?
Well, Etienne, because it's a monetary world, and I enjoy having a slice of it. How about another drink?
Oh, let me buy this round.
Oh, no. You bought the last round. No, it's my turn.
Pardon, monsieur. Oui, je me sois.
Well, of course, mademoiselle.
She wants to...
Never mind, Etienne. I know what she wants.
Oh, you're American. I'm so sorry to have interrupted.
No. That's all right.
May I sit down, please? It's very important.
Well, by all means, be my guest.
Speak to me. It doesn't matter what you say, but act as if you know me.
With pleasure.
Here, please, hold my hand.
You know, Etienne, I take back everything I said about Paris in the summer. It really isn't bad at all.
Mademoiselle, madame, if you please, my friend and I would so much...
I'm sorry to have interrupted you. Thank you very much, monsieur. Good day.
Oh, but it wasn't that...
And you, monsieur, you cannot be a Frenchman in spite of your accent. You are much too rude.
Hey, wait a minute.
No, please, do not follow her, please.
But why? That's the prettiest girl.
Paris is full of them.
Well, not just like that.
Oh, be sensible, my friend. No good can come of this.
Well, what can happen?
You have visited this city often enough to know what you call a come-on when you see
it. No, this wasn't a come-on, Etienne. That girl was scared. Couldn't you see it?
Mm. I saw how obvious she was.
I still think I should have followed her. Mm.
You're better off this way.
Maybe I am. But I'm not happy about it. And I wasn't happy because she was pretty, and somehow I felt that Etienne was all wrong. But by nightfall, I confess I'd just about forgotten about the incident that afternoon. Etienne showed up at my place with a couple of tickets to the Ballet Russe, and, well, since the auditorium was air-conditioned, it was as much for an escape from the humid night as it was for a search for culture that we went. On the way, we stopped for a bite to eat, so the curtain had gone up when we arrived. For a few minutes, it was just another ballet performance. And then I saw her again.
Etienne. Look, there she is.
Who?
The girl. The one that came to our table this afternoon.
Oh no. And I had to bring you here.
Thanks. I'm going backstage.
No. Stay here.
No, you stay here. I'm going backstage.
And I'll go with you.
You better not.
Why?
She doesn't like you, remember?
Ah.
I went backstage, and with the judicious application of 100 francs, I was able to find a fairly inconspicuous spot from which I could see the stage. Another 50 francs told me the girl's name was Colette Cormier. If I had thought she was pretty before, I was mistaken. She was breathtaking. I thought the ballet would never end, but finally it did. Colette! Huh? Colette!
Oh, monsieur! Monsieur American!
Yes. Colette, my name is Philip Westcott, and yours, I find, is Colette Cormier.
Yes.
Would you please consider that formal introduction, since there's nobody around to perform the ritual?
Of course. How do you do, Mr. Westcott?
How do you do? Now, would you have coffee with me as soon as you change clothes?
Oh, I'm afraid I cannot.
Huh? Oh, well, you have a husband?
No.
What, a boyfriend?
No.
Oh, you don't like me.
No.
No?
No, no. I mean, no, I like you. I mean, no, I do not dislike you.
Well, have coffee with me.
Oh, huh? Really? No.
Please, Colette.
If you really want me to.
I do. Very much.
Then wait here. I'll be back in a few minutes.
All right. You promise?
I promise. You see, I like coffee very much.
You know, you're a very clever young lady.
Huh? Why do you say that?
Well, because every time I've mentioned this afternoon, you've managed to change the subject.
Mm. It was foolish of me to act as I did.
And it was enough to make you frightened. And you were frightened, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Why?
Oh, Philip, I don't want you to be involved.
But I am involved, and I want to know about it. Tell me, Colette, huh? Maybe if you tell somebody, it'll help.
Very well. To begin with, I'm not French. I'm German.
All right, so you're German.
My father was a scientist during the war. When Germany fell, the Russians demanded that he continue to work for them.
Oh, did he?
No. One night he came home, burned most of his papers, and escaped with me to West Germany.
Oh. And your mother?
We have lost her several years before.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When father left, the Russians began looking for him. Their agents were everywhere. Once they caught us. A brute of a man named Marashin beat father terribly for almost a day and a night. Because father would not tell him what he wanted to know about the papers he had burned.
Oh.
Some friends of father's helped us to escape, and we came to France. Father changed my name, put me in a boarding school for girls, and made contact with someone from your country. He's in the United States now, working on a project which even I do not know about.
Well, why aren't you with him now?
Because I have my career with the ballet. Next year, we shall tour your country. I will see him then.
Ah. Well, do you correspond with him?
Yes. Through our family in America.
What? Well, can't you write directly?
No. The Soviet still hands for him. That is how we happen to meet this afternoon.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
I saw the man in Marashin. He was walking on the same side of the street as I approached the sidewalk cafe where you and your friend were sitting.
Oh, no wonder you were frightened.
But like I told you, it was silly for me to be afraid. He has not seen me since I was a little girl over 9 years ago. He couldn't possibly recognize me now.
Well, that's right. And the only reason you recognized him was because he was a grown man when you saw him.
Mm. And also because I can never forget the horror of that day.
Yeah. You know, Colette, I'm glad you told me because, well, somehow it makes me feel much closer to you.
It does?
Yes.
Then I am glad, Philip, because I feel very close to you, too.
She's wonderful, Etienne. You know, I'm not so sure I want to leave Paris tomorrow now.
I knew French girls were charming, but I never thought one could turn the head of an old hand like you.
But you're wrong about her being French. She's not. She's German. Her father was some kind of a big-shot scientist during the war, and Ruskies gave him a bad time until her father escaped to America.
Oh, my, my, my. Now, that's a new one. I haven't heard that story before.
Oh, come on, Etienne. I know a fairy tale when I hear one. This one's on the level.
If she's so wonderful, why are you here with me instead of with her?
Well, wardrobe fittings and a nasty little ballet master's rehearsal call have first dibs on her today. Yeah. But we have a date for tonight, after the performance.
Well, good luck. I've got to get back to work. Have a good time tonight, and I'll be at the airport tomorrow to see you all.
Etienne, I'm not so sure I'm going to be there. I'm not sure at all.
Philip.
Good night, Colette. Colette.
Yes, Philip.
Colette,
I must go in now.
Yes, I guess so.
Will I see you tomorrow?
Yes. Yes, you will. Good night again.
Good night.
Oh, she forgot her gloves.
But I do not know where he is.
Do not lie to me. You are his daughter. You must know.
But what do you want of him? He's not a citizen of your country.
That we want him is enough. Where is he?
I do not know.
Where is he?
I don't know.
She said she didn't know.
Who are you?
You just love to ask questions, don't you? All right, come on, Colette.
Where are we going?
I don't know. All I know is we better get out of here. And fast.
Return to romance and our story, Paris Encounter, in just a moment.
Who is it? Oh, Philip.
Let us in, Etienne.
Come in.
Etienne, do you still have that house in Normandy?
Yes, yes. Why, what's the matter?
Colette, they found her. There was a guy in her place this evening when she got home.
Colette?
Oh, excuse me. Etienne, Colette, come here.
Oh, my pleasure.
How do you do?
The house, Etienne. Can we use it for a couple of days till we can figure out what to do?
Well, of course. There's an old woman, the housekeeper. She lives there.
All right, fine. I'll call you when we get there. Huh?
Be careful.
Yeah, we will. Come on, Colette. It was dawn when we drove up to Etienne's chateau. Colette had fallen asleep en route, awakened momentarily when I picked her up and carried her into one of the guest rooms. The old woman was a little confused by her entrance, but with true Gaelic tact went about her business of making us comfortable. I picked one of the other rooms and fell asleep as soon as I hit the bed. When I awoke, it was mid-afternoon. Colette and I had a light lunch on the terrace and decided to go for a walk.
I don't dare go back to Paris now that I've been recognized.
Well, I wasn't planning that you should, Colette.
Huh? You have an idea?
Yes.
What is it?
Colette. You're going to marry me and come back to the United States with me. I'll get the visa rushed through.
What?
I know this isn't much of a proposal, but I do love you, and I want to marry you.
No, Philip, I can't.
What? You don't love me?
But I do. I do, Philip.
Well, then why won't you marry me?
Because I must be fair.
What, to me?
And to myself. If I married you now, I would not be absolutely certain it was because I loved you, and not because you were a means of escape for me.
But that's a risk I'm prepared to take.
And I love you too much to let you take that risk.
Oh, Colette, when two people are in love, there's always a certain amount of risk, no matter what the circumstance.
Those risks you speak of are unavoidable. This one is not.
But you do love me.
I think we'd better go back now.
Must we?
Yes. Please.
Okay, Colette. Let's go.
Philip?
Yes.
It will soon be night again, and then I shall be afraid again.
Ah, don't be.
But I must leave France soon.
Well, that's what I said this afternoon. We'll get married.
No, Philip. Don't say it.
Why?
I love you, Philip, and that's why I... Oh, Philip.
Oh, I'm sorry, Colette. I guess I just can't understand, that's all.
It is me. It's cold here on the terrace. Shall we go in?
Would you like a shawl or something?
No, I want to go in.
Okay. Would you like something to drink?
No, thank you.
Ah. What?
Would you play for me?
Well, if I can, what would you like?
Continue with what you are playing so I can dance to it.
Dance?
Yes. I want to dance for you.
Colette went to the terrace and danced for me. I had never seen anyone dance out of sheer emotion in my life. And up to now, the classic ballet had left me pretty cold. But now as I watched, I knew what Colette had been trying to tell me. I don't know how long she danced, but suddenly she stopped. Her body quivering. She was crying. Oh, darling.
Oh, Philip, I...
You don't have to say anything. I know.
But I do love you.
Yes, I know.
And I want to marry you right away.
Oh, my darling.
You'd better answer the phone.
Yes. Hello.
Philip?
Yes.
Etienne.
Oh, yes, Etienne. Is there anything wrong?
Oh, plenty. You forgot to sign the authorization for the last shipment of engines we ordered.
Well, but I did, Etienne, when I signed that last batch of papers yesterday.
Oh, sorry, Phil, you didn't.
Well, what do I do now?
Drive into Paris. I'll have the papers ready.
Well, what about Colette?
You'll only be gone about 5 hours for the round trip.
But I can't leave her here alone.
What are you worried about? Marouchin couldn't possibly know where she is.
Well, maybe you're right. But you be sure to have those papers ready for me when I get there, huh?
Don't worry. I'll have them at my place.
Okay, I'll see you in a few hours.
Goodbye, Philip.
What's wrong, Philip?
Oh, darling, I've got to go back to Paris for a couple of hours.
Huh?
But don't worry. You'll be safe here. And I'll be back before midnight. I drove like a madman. Took chances I shouldn't have. The closer I got to Paris, the faster I drove. I cursed my carelessness in overlooking the statement of authorization. And then about 50 miles outside of Paris, I began to relax. Etienne was right. Marouchin couldn't possibly know where Colette was. Marouchin? What? How had Etienne known the name Marouchin? I thought back. No, the name had never been mentioned in his presence. Etienne? Marouchin? Now I knew how Marouchin had found Colette the night after we'd met. And the phone call from Paris, it was only to get me out of the chateau long enough for the Reds to take her. Well, there was no sense in turning back. I knew what I had to do. But before I did, I made one stop and got a gun.
Hello, Philip. You made good time.
Yes. Yes, I did. But not good enough.
I don't understand.
What have they done with Colette?
I don't know what
you... I haven't got any time for games, Etienne. You and Morrison, what have you done with Colette?
It is out of my hands now, Philip.
Okay. Take a look. In exactly 10 seconds, if you don't tell me what I want to know, I'm going to put a bullet hole right between your eyes.
But, Philip, I can't...
10 seconds, Etienne.
Philip, I can't do anything. All right, Philip. I tell you.
Talk.
Marushin has orders to take her to a flat on the Rue Soissons and await further orders.
All right, now, here's what you're going to do. You're going to call him and say that his orders are to bring her here immediately.
But I can't, my...
I haven't got time to argue.
All right. All right, I will call him.
There's the phone. Call. Get Colette into the room and tell Marochin to return to his quarters and await further orders. If Marochin walks into this room, I'll kill you. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right, now go on.
Here is the girl.
Good. Now return to the flat and await further orders.
But I thought...
Never mind what you thought. Do as you're told.
Very well.
Here she is, Philip.
Oh, Philip.
Come on, Colette.
Where are we going?
I'll tell you when we're away from my friend here.
Philip.
What?
Tie me up. Hand in for tie me up.
Why?
Don't you see? They'll never believe it happened this way. They'll think I deliberately let her go.
You can tell them...
They won't believe me. It must look like I was overpowered. They can accuse me of stupidity, but they won't punish me.
No, Etienne. You believed them all these years. Now they must believe you.
But they won't, I tell you. They won't.
Then I'm sorry for you. Come, Colette. We're going home.
Yes, dear. Home.
But you must! They're killing! They're killing!
Romance is produced and directed by Fred MacKay. Editorial supervision is by Het Mannheim. You have heard Paris Encounter, written especially for Romance by Ross Murray.
Romance, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 21st of August, 1954, on CBS. This is an hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Lifonier. Now time for the Kathy and Elliot Lewis produced and starring series called On Stage. And one of the writers to contribute most to that series was radio writer E. Jack Newman. He was on the staff for CBS Radio in the writing department, as you might have guessed, and in the month of this broadcast alone, he had written a script for the Will Rogers Jr. series, Rogers of the Gazette, and 3 days after this show, had adapted the Stephen Crane story, Open Boat, for CBS's Escape series. His story featured now is called The Fling, from July 16, 1953, on CBS.
Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. Kathy Lewis, Elliot Lewis, two of the most distinguished names in radio, appearing each week in their own theater, starring in a repertory of transcribed stories of their own and your choosing. Radio's foremost players and radio's foremost plays. Ladies and gentlemen, Elliot Lewis. Good evening. May I present my wife, Kathy?
Good evening.
I had the opportunity the week before last to catch up on some of my reading, and I fortunately had available before me a short story by a writer new to our program,
Het Mannheim by name.
Elliot was fascinated with the story. I read it and agreed with him, and we asked Mr. Mannheim if he would let us do it on stage.
He agreed. We asked E. Jack Newman to adapt it for us. He agreed. And that's how a radio show gets to the point where we're able to say...
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we present The Fling, based on the short story by Het Mannheim.
Just the wind.
Oh. What time is it?
It must be about 3. You need your rest, Katie. Go back to sleep now.
Jim, do you remember the night we met at the Elks dance in Carver?
Of course I remember.
I was very pretty, wasn't I?
You've always been pretty, Katie.
We didn't know this was going to happen then. If it hadn't happened, if I hadn't gotten sick, what do you think it would be like now?
We can't think about that, Katie. Please, go back to sleep, huh?
You miss home, don't you, Jim?
This is home now. The Mojave Desert's as good as Carver, Indiana, if it's the place that you can get well in. That's all I want you to do. Get well.
Do you think I ever will, Jim?
Sure you will. We were told this takes time. We have to take each day as it comes.
You're right, Jim. I love you, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
You're wonderful to me. And I love you.
I love you, Katie.
Later on, maybe the wind will let up.
Good night, Katie.
Oh, night. Oh.
Wind will never let up. Never. It's always strong, hot, dry.
Hey, stranger. Well, hi.
Hi, Pop. How's it going?
Okay, Jim. How's it with you? How's Catherine?
Huh? Oh, she's so-so.
Not good, huh?
About the same.
You tell her I'll be getting some of those duck pretty soon. I'll fix her some just like before.
Oh, that's great, Pop. Thanks.
Catherine's a fine woman, Jim. Just about the best. I sure wish I could do something for her. I sure do.
Oh, you do enough, Pop. We'll never forget it.
Can I get you something?
Oh, it's hot. And how about a Coke?
Sure. Yeah. Cool your valves with that, boy.
Pop? Oh, Pop!
Yeah?
I found the place you're running here. Can't find the entrance anywhere.
Hey, what is all this?
Surprise, huh?
Sure.
Yeah, new waitress. Blew in last night for coffee, and I hired her. Just like that.
Oh.
I'm no fool, huh? Sometimes.
I've been looking high and low, Pop, and I didn't know we had any trade in yet today.
This is Jim, Stella, friend of mine. Stella Kalish, Jim.
Hello, Stella.
Hello, Jim. Nice to meet you.
What were you looking for back there?
I was looking for an apron, Pop. You know, apron?
Oh.
Till I get a uniform, I have to work in this skirt and sweater. I don't want to ruin it. The sweater set me back $3 last week.
I kind of like the sweater, honey bunch.
Where are the aprons, Pop?
I think they just came back from the laundry yesterday. I'll unpack them for you, kiddo.
Thanks. He's a nice old coot, isn't he?
The best.
You live somewhere around here, do you, Jim?
Yeah, 7 miles that way.
Lord. Out on the desert, huh?
Right smack in the middle of it, in a brick shack.
Ah, must get pretty warm.
It sure does. I've had 8 years of it.
I must say you don't look like a desert rat.
Neither do you.
I hope not.
How'd you happen to land here with Pop?
I just flapped my little old wings when they got tired. This is where I was perched.
I bet they miss you, wherever you flapped in from.
I don't think they miss anybody in San Bernardino. Some town, that was.
Well, at least you can walk in a store and buy a blue suit or loaf on a street corner and talk things over with a neighbor.
Who needs them? How about putting that in a glass for you with some ice,
yeah,
huh?
Fine.
Now, I got a theory. I always say if you don't like a place, leave it.
It's a pretty nice thing to be able to say, Stella.
Here you are.
Thanks.
What's the matter? You staked down?
Now, this climate's supposed to be good for my wife.
Oh, you got a wife, huh?
Yeah.
She's sick or something?
Yeah. Her lungs.
That's too bad. They say this is the place. I heard it was awful good for that kind of thing. Sure glad I'm hitting on all four. Hope I stay that way. You take care of her yourself, do you?
Uh-huh.
Washing, the cooking and everything?
Someone has to do it.
Yeah, it's the breaks, I guess. 8 years, huh?
Yeah.
She been sick all that time?
Mm-hmm.
She ought to be getting well pretty soon. Give me a nickel, huh?
For the cokes?
For fun.
Oh.
Thanks. A little music goes a long way in a joint like this.
It's not very lively, is it?
No, I don't know. If there was room, I'd ask you for a little dance.
If there was room, I would dance. You wouldn't have to ask me.
I couldn't find the aprons either, Stella. I guess they didn't come back yet. The laundry guy will be in this afternoon, though.
If it keeps getting hotter, I'll roast in this sweater. The heck with the apron, Pop. I'll have a nice, cool uniform right away anyhow.
Okay, sugar, but I'll buy it for you. I'll buy you a real classy uniform.
Cut it out, Pop. You'll make me blush.
Ho, 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 ho. The day you bust out in a blush, I'll be an old man with whiskers down to my knees, honey bun. Oh, Stella.
Oh, Pop.
I better get going.
Yeah, don't rush off. The party's just getting rough.
Yeah, Jim, don't rush off, man. Do you need gas or anything?
No, I'm all set, Pop. Nice to have met you, Stella.
Same here, Jim, old boy. Drop in anytime. It's the classiest mud hole you'll ever find.
Jim.
Huh?
Give my very best to Catherine. You tell her about the duck I'm going to fix for her. And tell her I love her.
She knows that, Pop, but I'll tell her just the same.
Don't forget.
I don't know your missus, but you can say hello for me, too, if you want to.
Yeah, okay. Well, so long.
Take it easy.
So long.
I heard the car drive up. How long have you been home?
I just got here. How's it going?
Oh, fine. Just fine. I slept a little this afternoon.
To take your temp?
Mm-hmm. It was up a little, but it's all right now.
Good. I got some things for you from Dr. Mapes.
Oh, I was about out.
I think they'll keep a little better in here.
Yes, I.
Oh, been looking all over for these things.
They were... Oh, the cartridges?
Yeah, saw some snakes out by the water tank. Where's the gun, Katie?
It's in the drawer, dear.
Darn thing's stuck.
You aren't going out now?
No, just want to put these in with the gun. I'll have to fix that. You hungry?
Just a little bit.
I picked up some lettuce and things. How about a nice salad for dinner?
Good. It's nicer when it gets dark. Why don't we wait?
There's no hurry.
Where will we eat tonight?
Well, should we make it the Waldorf or someplace in Europe?
Let's make it European tonight. I'm getting tired of this American cooking.
You're on.
I had a dream this afternoon, Jim.
What'd you dream about, Katie?
I dreamt we were back in Carver. The trees were green and the grass was damp and smelled fresh. I could just smell that grass, Jim.
Uh-huh.
And I heard water. I guess it was a stream. No wind, just the sound of water.
We'll be there again someday.
No, Jim, it wasn't that kind of a dream. I mean, the kind that misses all of the things that stop you from being or having what you want. It had another part in it.
What other part was that, Katie?
A memory of having been to Europe, Jim, to Switzerland, and a doctor who could help me, the way we read about in the article. It was sort of a practical dream. Did Dr. Mapes show you my new x-rays?
Yeah. About the same, Katie.
No better, huh?
Well, they're no worse.
Oh, Jim!
Here, here.
I'm nothing to you this way. Pale and thin and just lying in this bed. You need someone with life.
No.
Oh, Jim, I do love you so. Please, please don't ever leave me, ever.
No, dear. No. Never. Hi.
That you, Jim?
Yeah. Where's Pop?
Fine grub. I'm trying to fix my hair. What do you have? Vichy Swazi or a roast pheasant a la Pop?
Roast pheasant a la Pop. That's pretty good.
Be there in a second.
Take your time. I don't know, hurry.
Who is around here? That's all there is. Time. Wow. What a hot hole this turned out to be.
That's not so bad lately.
You just say that. You've got to stay here and... Sorry. I didn't mean that, Jim.
It's okay. You didn't say anything, Stella. It's okay.
I'm always yakking. Hey, you shaved again.
Oh.
That first day you came in, I wondered if you ever shaved much. And bingo, you've been shaved every time you've been in since. Ooh, it's hot, isn't it?
Yeah. Want a little music?
I'm getting sick of it.
Hey.
Huh?
How'd you like to take a ride down to San Bernardino sometime? Have a couple of drinks.
With you?
Well, sure. What's the matter with me?
Well, I didn't mean it like that.
Well, how about it? Would you like to do it? It'll give you a chance to look at some fresh scenery.
I came from there, remember?
How about tonight?
You really mean it, don't you?
Why not?
I'll tell you what. Jim, boy, I'll let you know. You come around after 9 when Pop goes to bed. Okay?
Okay. Okay, Stella.
Listening to Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. Tonight's play, The Fling. Wood for your home, water in the faucet, the newspaper on the front porch every day. Behind all of these taken-for-granted items of everyday life are America's forests. Whenever a forest burns, those things are being destroyed, and we ourselves are destroying them, because 9/10 of all forest fires are man-made. Let's stop this needless destruction. And be careful of fire in forest areas.
What's his name?
Al Brennan.
Al Brennan. You went to school with
him? Yeah. Where's my shirt, Katie?
There.
Oh.
Do you have to be there any special time?
No. But I want to get there. You can understand that, can't you?
Oh, sure, Jim.
Hang around here day in and day out. I never go anywhere or do anything. And the minute I want to take a little trip to San Bernardino to meet an old friend, I get the question treatment.
I'm sorry, dear.
I'm sorry, Katie.
Going to wear your blue sport coat, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I could stand a trip to the cleaners, I guess. Well, how I look?
Wonderful.
Now, you'll be all right while I'm gone, won't you?
Oh, sure.
Well, I guess I got everything.
What time will you be home?
Oh, I don't know. Well, probably after midnight. You get to sleep, you hear?
Uh-huh.
Well, good night.
Good night. Oh, Jim.
Yeah, Katie?
Have a good time with your friend.
All right, Katie.
Stella? Stella? Hey, baby, it's me. Jim.
Hi.
Hi.
Right on time.
Look, why don't you change your clothes and we'll get started?
You all jazzied up, huh?
Now, come on, we better hurry before Pop wakes up.
Mademoiselle from Montaigne, Parlez-vous?
Pop.
Mademoiselle from... Who is this Stella, huh?
Jim.
I thought he was in bed.
You thought wrong, kiddo.
Jimmy boy. Just the man I want to see. Get him a glass, Stella. We'll all have a drink together.
You two been having quite a time, huh?
Yeah, we sure have. Yeah. Get in here. We sure have, huh, honey bun?
Pop's been fighting the battle of Chateau Siri since 6 o'clock. Get the Legion cap.
Yeah, that ain't the only battle I've been fighting, hey, baby?
Boy, there's a lot of life in here.
Chateau Siri, huh?
We gave it to him, Jimmy. We sure gave it to him there. All right.
I know. One for you, one for him.
That's right. All the way, baby, all the way to the top. Over the top we went. We really give it to him there, Jimmy boy. Really give it to him.
Here.
Thanks. Well, cheers, Pop.
Cheers. What have I got now? Nothing. This rat hole in the middle of nowhere and one lousy medal. You know that, huh?
You got a lot, Pop.
Yeah. You talking? You got me, dearie.
I got you. Hey, let's have a ball. Come on, Jim, let's have a ball. What do you say? You and me and Mademoiselle Stella here. Oh, Mademoiselle.
I can't, Pop. Some other time, maybe.
Oh, no, Jim.
No, I got to get back home.
The man's got to get home to the nicest little wife in the world. Sick or not, Catherine's the best. I always said that, Jim, and you know I mean it.
I know, Pop.
He ain't got to go home at all, Pop. He came down here to take little Stella's a good old San Berdu tonight.
What?
Yeah, him and little Stella's got a date. Imagine that, Pop. Him and little Stella's got a warm, cozy date.
You what? You got a what?
It wasn't anything, Pop.
Oh, is that so? He's trying to take your little tootsie away from you, Pop. You take care of him. Go on, hit him, Pop. Hit him the way you hit him at Chateau Terry.
Now, Pop, you've both been drinking. I was going down to San Bernardino to get Catherine some things, Pop. I just asked Stella here to ride along with me.
That's a lie. A lousy, stinking lie. You know what he wanted me to do? He wanted me to go down and have some drinks with him and who knows what else, Pop. That's what he wanted me to do.
I tell you, Pop, I was just going down to get some things for Catherine.
I'm going to use this bottle on you, boy.
I tell you, Catherine.
Catherine! You ought to be ashamed to mention her name. I'll kill you!
Pop! That's almost dangerous!
You dirty beast!
Louse!
Oh, boy, Pop!
You cut my face open, Pop!
Why don't you go home to your wife? We were doing good till you showed up. Who do you think you are, anyway, you cheap think?
Coat. It's all full of blood.
Throw him a towel, sir.
Here.
Don't you ever come back here again as long as you live. Going there to a woman like Catherine, I should have killed you.
Give it to him again, Pop.
You shut up!
Oh, Bon, that's the way to talk to your bride?
Bride?
What's it to you? Yeah. We're going down to San Bedou and get married tonight. So what? What's it to you, you cheap fink?
I didn't know, Pop. I'm sorry.
Wipe off your face and get out of here. That's all I want you to do.
Yeah. I'm going.
Come on, Pop. This is my wedding night. I want you to last long enough to carry me across the threshold.
Yeah, then not until Romeo gets himself out of here.
I'm going.
Me, a little old bush of rye, yeah. Stuffy? Yeah. Yeah. One of our hot dogs with pop. Come here, you mangy old rat. You give me a kiss, huh?
I only wanted somebody who was whole just for a little while. You idiot.
Feel any better?
It's all right, Katie. It doesn't bother me.
Pops, you'd be more careful around that.
I told you, it wasn't Pop's fault. He'd already turned out the lights in the lunchroom, and I ran into a sharp edge on that gas pump on the way out. I had no business being there anyhow.
And you missed your friend, too.
That doesn't matter either. Go to sleep, honey.
Before I do, Jim, I want to tell you.
What?
It doesn't matter about the place in Switzerland. They're always writing articles about some clinic in the paper. Probably no better than what I'm doing right here. So please, don't worry about it, Saul.
Thanks, Katie. I'm not worrying about anything anymore. Go to sleep, huh?
You'll fall asleep in that chair, honey. Don't you want to come to bed?
In a little while. No. I just can't take it anymore. Goodbye, Katie.
Oh, Jim! Jim, I wonder who that could be at this hour.
Huh?
Jim, open up!
I better see who it is.
Yes.
Sorry, Jim. I know you folks turned in early, but I thought I'd better wake you. You don't need the gun. It's only me.
Oh, Earl. Come on in, Sheriff. It's Earl Coombs, Catherine.
Well, hello, Earl.
Evening, Catherine. I didn't want to wake you up.
It's all right, Earl. Come in. What in the world's wrong? You look upset.
Katie, I think I ought to...
Always get upset when it happens to somebody I know. It ain't very pleasant, Catherine. There's been a bad smash-up down at Cajon. Pop Narovny and that new waitress of his are dead.
Dead?
Oh, no, not Pop. Oh, how terrible.
It's awful. What can we do? Anything?
I guess nobody can do anything now.
How did it happen?
I hate to say this. You know how you two like Pop, but I'm afraid they were drinking a little.
How terrible. Oh, poor Pop, I liked him so much. And that poor girl.
Stella. Stella Kalish. There's one more thing, Jim.
Oh?
You'd better go down to Riverside in the morning and see Captain Foote of the Highway Patrol.
Captain Foote? Why?
The whole thing's in his hands. Pop had an old veteran's insurance policy for $10,000. It's made payable to... Catherine here.
Me?
Yes. All these years, Pop had you on that policy. I guess he liked you a lot. He ain't got nobody else.
The poor old man.
Well, you can go to Switzerland now, can't you?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, Jim.
No.
Well, folks, I gotta be going. Night, Jim. Katie?
So long, Earl. Thanks.
Oh, poor old Pop. I didn't know he thought that much of me.
I did, Katie.
What?
Katie, there's something I have to tell you. tonight when I went by, Pop.
Oh, you really have to tell me, Jim.
Katie, I know.
Jim, don't you know what this means? I'm going to be whole again. And yours again, if you want me.
Katie.
Listen, Jim.
I'll be darned.
The wind stopped blowing. It's all gone.
Yeah, Katie. It's all gone.
The Fling, starring Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. And now, once again, Kathy and Elliot Lewis.
We switched the parts around tonight, and Kathy didn't play my wife. She was Stella.
And lovely Sammy Hill played your wife.
While Stella's boss and husband-to-be was Herb Butterfield.
Next week, another searching look at ourselves and our neighbors as we present E. Jack Newman's new radio play, The Girl I Tried to Love.
Until next week, thank you for listening. And good night.
Good night.
Music for tonight's story was arranged and conducted by Fred Steiner. The Kathy and Elliot theme is by Ray Noble, and the program is transcribed and directed by Mr. Lewis. Roy Rowan speaking.
On Stage, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 16th of July, 1953 on CBS, bringing the curtain down on this hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Lipnoner. Thanks for listening.